Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the ultimate Sleep Number event on the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. You can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
But can it help keep me asleep?
Absolutely. It intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you both effortlessly comfortable.
Will it help me come out swinging?
You got this.
So you can really promise better sleep?
Not promise, prove. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus 0% interest for 60 months on all smart beds. Ends Monday.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune in to all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Trenton Mix Show. I'm your host, Ricardo Rashad, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dialing 516-4513-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Listen, you guys, I am so excited. Also, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. I'm sorry about that, you guys. So I'm excited. It's just so amazing, like, just to be able to get on here. And, you know, I would say oftentimes when I get on here and do the radio show, it's kind of like I'm doing it all over again. You get what I mean? So I'm really, really excited. Anybody that knows me, before I even get to my guest, I just have to let everybody know, like, who I represent. So I want to let y'all know about my best friend, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I couldn't be where I am without him. And I just want to let the world know how much I'm in love with Jesus and who he's been to me. You know, he hasn't only just been my Savior, but he's also been my Lord. He's been my best friend. And I couldn't even be where I am without him. And all the times where I couldn't understand or wasn't able to discern, like, his voice for my life, you know, God has kept me. I've had personally so many close calls in my life where I could have lost my life on so many different occasions. And Jesus, he just met me there in my darkest hour. So I'm always letting everybody know, like, Jesus is it. I want to let everybody know, whatever, whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't make it real. Whether you get up and work or not, like, you know, we all going, you know, like, if you're, like, I take the same analogy. Sometimes people be like, well, I don't want to go to church or whatever. Church is in my heart. But it's like, if we use that same analogy on other things, like, you know, like, I really want to, like, I don't know if I'm making sense right now, but it's like, it's just like you go into a job or whatever and you putting in like 5 hours or whatever, and then somebody else is putting in, you know, 40, 80 hours in those 2 weeks or whatever, and they're getting what they, you know, what they want or whatever. Like, they're getting their full check. So if we put 20%, you know, into God, then we're not going to be able to really reap a real harvest. You know, you got to give God 100%. It's the same thing with most people in life. They want to give 20% in their life, and they're expecting 100% out of life. Like, no, you got to put more into it. So I'm probably not making sense right now or whatever, but it gets down to it or whatever, you know. Get to know the Lord why he can be found. You know, if anything, one of the things God has been teaching me, and I've been saying, is how fickle life is. You know, the word says that life is like a water vapor. You know what I mean? Like, and if you know anything about that, it's like here 1 minute, gone the next minute. So we're all going to have to stand before God and give an account for this life and what we did. So while you have air in your lungs, get to know Jesus. Get to know him. You know, we either going to be with God in heaven, is either heaven or it's hell. So a lot of preachers or whatever, they don't want to talk about hell because I don't like talking about hell. They don't want to talk about it because, you know, I feel like people want your money. Everybody got different motives. But at the end of the day, I'm like, you got to let people know that it's heaven, it's hell. So not trying to scare anybody into anything, but just know that God loves you. And that place was created for the devil and his angels, his fallen angels. And God wants to save us through his son, Jesus Christ. So just think about it, pray about it, and let the God lead you. So next thing I want to say is I want to dedicate this show to my stepmother, who I've just lost recently. I want to dedicate this to my deceased brother. I want to dedicate this show to my grandmother, and I want to dedicate this show to my grandfather. And last but not least, I want to dedicate this show to my spiritual brothers. You guys are amazing. I love each and every one of y'all. Again, you guys know the story. I was able to go to LA and I met these amazing men of God. And, I just love them, man. And they're listening now or whatever, so I just want to let y'all know I love y'all so much. You feel me, y'all? My spiritual brothers, and y'all, we're coming more like family, and y'all my friends, so I really, really appreciate y'all. Y'all hold me accountable. So thank y'all for tuning in and listening. I have an amazing series. It's called Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. And it's on YouTube, so you guys can check it out. And the last final season is dropping the top of the year. When I tell you guys, I'm so excited. This has been such a labor of love to do this series because life has been life, and I'm just so grateful to God that I've been able to push through despite my shortcomings. So what I want from this series is, one, for people to get saved, and two, I want to see my people heal. I am tired of every time I look around, somebody's killed. I was talking to my sister today, a guy that I went to school with that's really close to the family got murdered last night in the city of Trenton, and I'm just so tired of it. I'm just so tired of us killing each other. You get what I'm saying? I'm just so over it. You get what I mean? And it just takes me back to when my brother got killed. So it's just like, when will it stop? You get what I mean? Like, when will it stop? When will people begin to make better choices and conscious decisions, you know? So even though it's not, you know, he wasn't my friend, you know, but at the end of the day, it affected me because there was another black man murdered for something stupid. And he was connected to my family, so I felt it. So it's just, I just want us to see us do better as a people. I want to see us get the help that we need. And so many people are walking around here angry. They mad at the world and not happy with their life. And it's really the hurt people thing. It's like, if I'm not happy with my life, I'm destroying my life. I don't care nothing about destroying your life. And then it's the family that's connected to these people that's getting murdered and killed. It's just, it's a lot. You get what I'm saying? So it's just like, I just want to see my people heal. And if I could just be like a little sparkle, if I could be a little light in a dark place, then that's what I'm here for. So please, season 3, please check it out. I would definitely appreciate it, you guys. So I have my amazing guest. Welcome, Charles.
Hey, what's going on, bro? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be able to have you back on here. Like, you know, we got a chance to talk last time. And it's just really, really refreshing. You're one of the guys that I've met in the men's group out of L.A., and you're from Indiana. So I'm just really, really grateful to have you in. But I wanted to say this or whatever, and I try to give all my flowers to my guests that come on. You know, I just wanted to tell you what an amazing man that you are. You're actually, like, one of my closest friends now, and it's just like we just hit the ground running, you get what I'm saying? And you've been there for me. You're an amazing man of God. And you're a real human being, which I appreciate that about you. You get what I'm saying? And you could be very blunt. You ain't going to play with people. Listen, I'm like, bro, you tell me to chill. But you're very blunt. You know, you mean well, though. You definitely mean well. You have an amazing aunt who I love so much, too. She's like my aunt now. And amazing support system. You are very blessed to have that. But I just wanted to let you know, like, from man to man, like, to keep going, you know, keep being who you are, and just keep going. You get what I mean? Because you don't really see men compassionate and just supportive of other men. A lot of times we as men, we feel like we got to compete. And we don't got to congratulate each other and be there for each other. So I never get that from you. I always get support. And you're going to tell me how you feel, too. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be 100 with me. And I appreciate our brotherhood, and I appreciate our friendship. So I just wanted to let you know I love you, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm very, very grateful for you to be a part of my life.
Amen, bro. I appreciate you, and I love you, too.
So I just wanted to, like, you know, last time when we were talking or whatever, we were talking about faith, and I just want to know, before we get into everything, like, you know, I grew up in inner city. Why do you personally think, just from your opinion and the people that's calling in, you guys can give me an opinion, why do you think that is so much killing in the inner city, especially with black men? Like, do you think it's the lack of fathers? You think it's because the mother is playing a role of the mother and father? Do you think it's greed? Is it money? Like, what is it, lack of resources, programs in the hood? Like, why do you think this is a constant thing in all hoods around the U.S. where there's the black men, they're getting killed out on the street, and then now it's this generation thing because now the father's out of the home, and it leaves these little boys to feel like they got to grow up and be the man of the house. And they just added with all of these different responsibilities, and these kids, you know, they grow up angry because it's like, I just wanted to be a kid, and I had to be a dad, and it's just so... It's just a lot of trauma. And it's just the next generation. It just affects it, you know, and nobody gets the healing because, hey, this is the way I am, you know. So why do you think there's so much killing in the inner city, and why are they after? It is so crazy because not only, Charles, is, you know, the world against us, our own race, we're against each other. Like, why do you think that, just from your opinion?
Well, like you said, I think it's the lack of, like, the amount of fathers missing from the homes is a big one. I remember seeing, I think it was like an Instagram video or a reel, where a guy was talking about the statistics of what men would become without a father in the home. And it was like all of the negatives exponentially rose whenever the father is missing from the home. So I do believe that it's a huge part of it because you don't have a man to teach you how to be a man as you grow into being a man or grow up, you know what I mean? So you have a lot of guys, while they look and appear to be men, they're still children. And so their emotions tend to rule them. And being raised by women who, while very intelligent sex between the two, you know what I mean? Like oftentimes more intelligent. They are also emotional. So you're being raised by someone, you know, you're being raised in your emotions as well. Oftentimes, you know, we're told to hide our emotions too. So there's that case too, where, you know, they're being forced to hold it all in, hold it together because men don't cry, you know, men aren't supposed to. There's a bunch of different variables and reasons. And then when it comes to black on black, you know, even the Word of God says, a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. So I believe that's just the work of the enemy. You know, we're all competing. You know, we have crabs in a barrel type of mentality where one rises instead of, you know, helping the other ones up. The other ones in the bottom are pulling the one that's, you know, rising to the top back down. So there's so many different variables, so many different reasons as to why these killings are happening. But I do believe that the number one cause is the lack of fathers in the homes. I was blessed enough to have a father, you know, growing up. My mom and dad are still married to this very day. So I don't know what that is like. I know that without it, though, my life would be totally different than what it is today.
Right. Wow. That is, it's crazy. I just think sometimes, you know, as a kid, I wouldn't have thought as I got older, the same people I was playing with in the park or in school with, I would be looking years later and seeing RIP. So me being an empathetic person is just very, very, it's a hard pill to swallow. I think that sometimes growing up in inner city, we have been so afflicted with so much trauma that the things that we deem norm is really not the norm. You get what I mean? It's not the norm at all. Mm-hmm. So it's just like when I see, I just feel so overwhelmed. Like, oh my goodness, it's like another family got to go through what I just went through. You get what I mean? And it's just like sometimes I think when will it stop? But it's just like as long as it's money, as long as people get jealous, and in the end, I say this so many times, Charles, what God got for you is for you. See, and that's why the type of person I am, I'm never going to say, like, in life that I feel like that would be me being unauthentic, me not being real. I'm never going to say I never looked on social media and seen somebody's life and be like, oh, wow, Lord, how would this be to be married or have a family? How would this be if I was on this trip or if I made this amount? I'm never going to say that. But, like, genuinely who I am, I wish everybody well. And I feel like what God has for you is for you. So you don't have to compare yourself to what nobody else got, because you don't know what people had to go through to get to where they want. You don't know what people had to go through to get to where they got. So oftentimes people look at people's life and they look on social media and they're only getting a bird's eye view at people's life, and that becomes people begin to have, be envious and jealous over something that's not even reality. And you don't, like I said, you right. don't know. And I heard somebody say, in order to take my success, you got to take my failures. Because at the end of the day, you can't just take the good parts of somebody's story and not realize that you don't know if people that felt like they wanted to give up. And so many times I felt like I wanted to give up. You get what I'm saying? Just within this last year. You feel me? But I'm just like, it go back to what I was telling you about that scripture and Job, like, though you slay me, yet I will still trust him. So I just, you know, I want to definitely like, yeah. So I want to bring on Brother O for a second or whatever. So Brother O, tap in.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Charles and you to talk about this, you know, outstanding topic. About a month and a half ago, I had a show that I did a music show, and we had, you know, successful forum. And I said this, and I say it again, and I'm going to say it tomorrow, and I'm going to say it next year. Parenting is very, very important, but also effective adulting. You have to be an adult before you even have a child. No matter if it's, a two-parent system or a one-parent system. Yes, it's important to have the father in the home. I'm a successful father. I have a successful son, and I'm blessed by God. But everybody's not like that. You know, we have a lot of murders out here in these communities. Just in Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit, 1, 2, and 3, murder capitals. Philadelphia, number 1, Chicago, number 2, and Detroit, number 3. And it's every year. And I always say, you know, to you and Charles that, you know, there's a lot of cowardice in our community. You knew Ray Ray when he was growing up. Sometimes you might have fed Ray Ray. You might have threw the ball down there. You might have took him to the court to play basketball. And Ray Ray gets killed, and no one comes outside to protest about Ray Ray. Okay, we protest about, white cops killing us, and you brought a good point, Ricardo. You know, we got to worry about not only society trying to kill us through, you know, to drugs, to circumstance, to environmental, instances, and then our own people. The majority of the homicides that go on in our communities, guys, you ready for this, are between the ages of 13 and 19. Now it's to the point where you don't have to worry about the 20-year-olds anymore. There was a time you had to worry about between 19 and 28 because it was, you know, the drugs and blah, 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 and, you know, most of the killings were that. Now, like Ricardo said, we're having murders now for nothing. We have a lot of kids, yeah, you know, being educated through these games, modern warfare, Call of Duty, and they think it's real, okay, in the game. And they come outside and think it's a game. But I'm going to tell you before I go to my next track, and we're going to bring on some callers. When you get to prison, there is no Call of Duty. The COs laugh at you when you scream and holler while they have sexual pleasure with you. Because you killed that boy or you killed that girl. There's many, right now as we speak, there's many young people hollering right now, you know, because of you going to jail, filling up the prison industrial complex, and really, really, really getting your backside tore back. Let's save our children. Let's take it back to the church, y'all. It's church time.
Some joints like these don't even need intros.
It's the way I came up all through the week. Every night was a church night.
Feel me?
If you wanna come around, pack your bag, cause we must go there.
Ooh.
And it ain't no shame, it's part of my game, believing in his name. So if you come from the mall and you want me to meet ya, I gotta listen to the preacher verse.
Tuesday night is rehearsal, Wednesday Bible study,
on Sunday, here we go.
So good to me.
Ooh, why do we a bunch of things. I'll tell you what it means to me. I truly know that I'm blessed and I'll take it for granted. I'm gonna raise them every chance that I get to.
Tuesday night is rehearsal, Wednesday, Bible study, Thursday.
And
I hang with the band, oh. Friday, then just
yes. Sunday,
and
it goes down.
Down.
Telling me you had a short time to get my hind parts down the stairs so we could share in the car, which was parked in the driveway, headed for the highway, aimed at the steeple where the people made an unbelievable sound. The keyboards under the sweet organ, where the deacons and greeters was meeting the seekers at the door with arms open wide saying, give me some more.
You
just like that. We have a caller, Charles. Caller one, who are you and where are you calling from?
All right, caller, you're live and line. Unmute yourself. All right, try this other caller here. Now, when you come on, you press one. That means you want to talk. So, caller, you're live on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello.
Hi, is this Charles?
I'm here. I'm here.
This is Tracy. I didn't know I was calling in. I thought I was just joining the call. I'm sorry. I was just listening because you posted it for us to call the number.
Tracy.
So I did.
Well, welcome.
I'm Tracy. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I know Charles from Fellowship Friday. And I just saw he posted it, so it's interesting conversation. I like what you guys are talking about. I don't really have much more to say. I'm an educator. I teach in inner city Houston, Texas, all grade levels right now because I teach PE special ed, but I was second grade teacher for 5 years, and I also worked in the high school for 8 years as the attendance clerk, so.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you for all that you do. You said your name was Tracy?
Yeah, and I just have to add one more thing. Being at that high school for 8 years and seeing I think I'm just making a guess here. Right now I can, right off the top of my head, five boys that I know that are either in jail or prison that I knew very well, like, One of the kids was homecoming king with my daughter. She was homecoming queen. I have his picture right here on the wall. And he's in Harris County Jail right now. He's since New Year's Eve last year. Another boy is in prison, got caught up in something with another guy. The other guy ended up dead, and that guy's in prison. I think he's on 10 years now. And then the other guy I just told you about, the homecoming king, his best friend, that his family tried to help out and get off the streets ended up right after high school, 2012, in an armed robbery and is in prison. He's supposed to get out, I think, soon, but something happened and now he's in there longer. That's just three that I know very well. And so it, when you guys are talking about that, it's hitting home because, you know, Charles nailed it and he said, I'm right there. It's so much the father not being in the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really unfortunate. And, you know, when one passes, you know, like I said, it affects so many different people. You see so many people mad. You see so many people angry. You get what I mean? I feel like that's what the enemy wants. You get what I'm saying? I haven't got a chance to meet you, but I'm also in the same group on Fridays. I haven't got a chance to be on there on Fridays, but I'm in the same chat, so I just haven't got a chance to talk to you yet.
You're Ricardo, right? Yeah. Richard Ricardo?
Yes, I'm Ricardo. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice
so thank you,
Ricardo.
Yes, thank you so much for calling in. I definitely appreciate it. We appreciate it, and yes, we appreciate you. So thank you.
Thank you, and you know, just one more thing: if you keep my husband in your prayers, because he's been at that high school 15 years, and it's his ministry. He's a very godly man. He hears from God. He prays every day. He's praying continually. He's a hall monitor. That's like the person that goes through the hallway, and he's the one that they're going to call when the kid's upset and. He has to try to calm him down before he gets him to the principal's office because he's going to escort him from, you know, the teacher that's fed up with him to the principal's office. And that's a ministry right there. And, you know, he's really good with him. He builds relationships with him. He's just so good. Like, sometimes I hear him talking to him, and I mean, he's firm, but he's like, hey, what are you thinking? Why were you thinking you could go over here? What can you do differently next time in the classroom to de-escalate that? You know, so he's trying to make a difference in their lives, especially the ones that don't have dads. He's taken so many under his little wings. And so just keep him in your prayers. I would appreciate it. His name is King.
King. I got a little kid in my class named King. So
you do?
Yes, a little boy. His name is King. Yes.
Wow. It's really rare.
Yes, it's very rare. And I'm from New Jersey, so.
You're from New Jersey, okay. And we're from Houston.
I love Houston. I just came back from Houston last month. Beautiful. I'm definitely going to be back down there soon. So,
wow.
Houston,
I can't believe you were down here. That's so cool.
Houston's amazing. So,
anyways,
thank you
God
so
bless
much.
You all. You know,
God bless
thank you.
Thank
you for doing
it. I can't wait to come on one of them group chats and, you know, hear everybody out. But thank you. It's a blessing. Everybody just linking up together and wanting to know God is just amazing. So we just got to be standing on the front line and, you know, praying and, you know, and standing in the gap for so many people that are so lost. So, I wanted to say, like, one thing, Charles, that she said that I feel like stuck out about her husband working. I was praying this morning with my nephew. No job is too small. We need the man that's taking out the trash. We need the person working the McDonald's. We need the teacher. We need the lawyer. We need the doctor. We need the custodian. We need the person that's working at the car wash. Like, everybody is needed. And if everybody just do their part, you get what I'm saying, and not feel inferior, or I feel like society puts these roles like, oh, if you're a doctor, then you're this, or if you're this, then you're that, or you should feel less than them, where you have so many people who are literally millionaires, right? These celebrities, they're millionaires, but they have no peace. So a lot of times people think when they reach the social economical status, then happiness will follow, you know? And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So, again, I just want to encourage somebody out there, like, wherever you are, like, start being content for where you are. You get what I'm saying? I'm saying if you ain't doing that with your life, that's something different. But I'm saying, like, if you know you're trying and you know you're trying to get to that next stage, give yourself – so be kind to yourself. You get what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like, whatever, again, God has for you, he has for you. So keep that in mind. Don't compare your journey to nobody, because nobody ain't been through what you've been through. You get what I'm saying? You can only walk in your shoes. So I wanted to talk about one thing, you know, that we didn't really get a chance to dive in last time. And I just wanted everybody, now we might have touched on the drugs and stuff, but I just kind of felt like me and you did a live like 2 months ago. And you got on the live and you talked about how God delivered you from drugs, like real hardcore drugs. And I just wanted to know, like, what was the moment that you said, all right, what was the moment that got you on drugs? And what was the moment that you said, all right, I got to get off of this? Because the reason why I'm bringing this up is because me and you talked about it. And I say, just let me know what you want to share, what you're not comfortable with. It's so many, like, drugs are killing so many of our young people. You know, and I can't really say if I could really recall anybody in my life that has really, I'm talking about young, that's still young, and that's like, yo, that was actually delivered. So for you to be delivered from, you know, not just weed, like real stuff, like what made you do drugs, and when did you say enough was enough? Like, what was rock bottom for you?
Okay, so it more or less began to go really downhill with me trying different things, was especially after I got out of the military. So I was in the Guard for 6 years, deployed one time to Kuwait and as a part of Operation Enduring Freedom. But I had been repeatedly drug tested, quote-unquote randomly, and I had failed my last test for weed, and this was shortly after a promotion to sergeant. And so after I refused to reclass because I didn't want to reclass to something that I just wasn't interested in doing, so I just got out. And when I got out, I actually felt more free to do more things than, you know, of course, while I'm still in. I thought that, you know, I could at least get away with just smoking weed, since, you know, you got people in the military that, you know, we're just drinking alcohol, showing up for duty drunk and stuff like that, you know. So I feel like now that I'm out, I can do more things. And when I got out, that was more or less when I started to really dive deeper into different stuff, especially with having friends that promoted such a thing. And so going from that, you know,
let me stop
years
you right
down
there,
the list,
right there.
I got
Hold on, Charles. Let me stop you right there. And even what I realize is, and I say this all the time or whatever, before we get into caller two, I have to, and that is why it's so important to be around people that is going to lift you higher. Because we all could be around people that's going to coincide with our BS. We could all find somebody, like, I remember when I had a friend, that's my dog, but I remember when I was a kid, he would start cutting school. So because that was my best friend, I just wanted to start cutting school. You get what I'm saying? And it's just like, we're going to always find somebody to do wrong with, point blank, period. You're going to have them cousins and them friends, oh, when they're ready to get it popping. But where's that same energy when we try to live righteous? Where's that same energy when we want to start a business? Where's that same energy? Like, people have so much energy, but it's to the wrong stuff. But if we just change that energy around, we still have that same enthusiasm. But how about we do something different? How about we go back and take our community back? How about we buy back the block? Like, how about we take that same enthusiasm when we're ready to go split somebody wig, use that energy into something positive? So I thought that was interesting how you was able to find people, like-minded people, to do the wrong things with. You get what I'm saying? So I just wanted to say that part or whatever. Like, we're going to attract those type of people. You get what I mean? So who you are around, it really, really matters. But until we get to the next thing, let's get to caller two. Caller two, who are you and where are you calling from?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. Yo, where we used to have good jump shots, now we only take mug shots. You know what I'm saying? Oh, shout out to Charles Barkley before he started spitting on people. You know what I'm saying? But check this out, though. Ricardo, you ready for something, brother?
Yes.
Are you ready, brother?
I'm ready, bro.
Because I want to congratulate you on something. On your WBNN all-time connection record, with your 10th all-time and third consecutive win on the historical Darlene Lawrence Championship honoring the late Hall of Famer. Now, listen, don't jump out the damn window. Now, tell me how you feel about that.
I feel amazing, brother. And I just want to say, I know you're on there. I just want to say this reason why. Whenever you talk about something controversial, especially when I'm talking about God, a lot of times people, they don't want to hear that. But it's just like I'm willing to put everything on the line for the God that I believe in. So the fact that people still tuning in and they still want to hear about my story and about the God that brought me through and my friends that been through the trenches, been on drugs, and we've coming out onto the other side and we redeemed, you know, we're better men. I'm just so grateful to be able to have this platform where I ain't got to compromise who I am and the God I believe in. And that's all I want to say.
So that's heavy right there. But listen, while you got me on here, I want to know if it's cool for me to elaborate on some of these things in regards to these young people and these things and the drugs and all of that kind of stuff. I'm gonna twist them together and make a fusion sandwich with it. So check this out, right? The whole thing about it is this: I'm out here, I got kids. I got young kids in their 20s, young 20s. I got teenage children, you know what I'm saying? I got a nice little team in that area where my youngest is 16. So the whole thing about it is this. I see a lot of the people my age with, you know, with children, but I clearly see them still fully active in activities in which they should have roughly been graduated from 20 some odd years ago, 25, whatever. You know, things that we were doing when we were young, 20s and all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm 45 right now. You know, like it works every time. But what I'm saying is when you get my age and you see people my age with their children and you see them and you know they have children, what could they have time possibly teaching these kids? And sad to say that the main ingredient in which that prevented them from teaching their kids and home training their kids correctly was unfortunately the abuse of these drugs that was out here that we was getting this money from. You know what I'm saying? You know, incorporated, but. Unfortunately, some of us fell to the negative end of the incorporations in which was out here for us. You know what I mean? Whether we indulged in it, whether we raised our hand for it, or it trickled down on us. You know what I'm saying? By default, or some of us just saw that it was a good thing to get into. But the primal thing is, the people my age with these children, 18, 19, 20, whatever. Some of them is older than that because some of us was having kids when we was 12, 11, 13, 14, all that. And they still getting high. They still, you know what I mean? It's still party. It's still Friday night. It's still Margarita Monday, $2 Tuesday, Wet Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Freaky Friday, and let's get it popping on Saturday night, one live time. So who are we going to blame on what? And let's cut it out. Let's put these things on a measurement scale, people. That amount of fun or our livelihood. We put our livelihoods on a scale next to the things in which that brings us whims and desires up upon our pleasure. I'm Clever One, one half of the Blues Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we build the bricks up and stand the sticks up and crash the backboards on our baby moms. Check your satellites.
Amazing. Track next by DJ Legend, Brother O.
Kiara Shears. Tone. That's a lethal combination.
What's the use for getting?
one word from the word that he's memorized. That fast food with no fries, that's the main ingredient. I would cuss him out, but that ain't expedient. He don't want it with Kiera, cake lost Sierra. One rip got him sweating mist like Sierra. Plus she got backup, yes he will back up. DVMC, he better not act up. I'm a big bad rich, I'ma call it a hitsaholic. Sleep footed back down when I spit my hardest. Who won it with Big Bro and that gospel goddess? I forgot you artists, cause you drop it artless. When they yap and doubt it, I just snap out it. I'm the best rapper with life, better ask me about it. Chicken, I ain't never scared whenever I'm fair-faced. Chicken, I ain't trying to fool up with a head case. Chicken, it's slim pickings when you facing Adonia. What in the dickens he thinking about trying to corner? I'm sitting pretty, but I'll explode like I'm a bomb. I calm yourself, my Kiki heated up like a sauna. Oh. When the devil's trying to talk to you,
So I wanted my brother to finish what he was saying about just about, I don't know, bro, you just pick up where you left off. You was talking about how you got into drugs, I believe. So tell me how you got out of it. Like, when was that moment? Because I want people to understand, because a lot of times they be like, God brought me through. But sometimes you got to break it down. Like, how did he bring you through? Like, what was that rock bottom moment for you where you was just like, was it a moment where you was like, yo, I'm too high, you know? Did you have an out of body experience? Like, what was that moment where you was like, I can't, like, I gotta do something or I'm gonna die? Like, what was that moment for you?
For me, the moment was when I went to jail for driving while drunk. I think that was pretty much what settled it for me. And it's crazy that, you know, me wanting to cease doing all the drugs really came from me getting an OWI, operating while intoxicated. You know, I've been in jail before, but on some very petty time for driving while suspended. It was like 12 hours out in Boone County over here in Indiana. And then when I got put over for the OWI, barely being over the legal limit, I was in there for, like, what, 36 hours? But, like, even still, I'm not somebody my brother always talking about, you know, what happens to people being in jail. And so, like, I'm already not built to be in jail or prison, let alone jail. So, being in there for 36 hours, you know, sitting next to the toilets where, you know, you seeing dudes literally take poops on broken toilets and having to smell that. And, like, you know, it was like 40 to 50-something people packed in there. And this is during the high time of COVID as well. So, like, that was more or less when I hit rock bottom for myself. And the irony was when I was wearing, like, this, I think it was T'Challa or Killmonger jersey. You know, it's just funny. Like, you wearing like a king comic book character on your back, and here you are in jail for being dumb and driving while intoxicated. So that was pretty much more or less the point when I had hit my rock bottom, I felt like. And it was just the point where I had to completely turn it around. This was also 3 days before my birthday. So it was a bunch of stuff that was just against me. And I was also coming out of, you know, living in my apartment where I had roommates who were also just up to no good. We were all, like, you know, in the throes of drugs every single day, living with kids. A lot of stuff that, you know, looking back, I ought to be ashamed of, but God has delivered me from all that. So, I mean, all glory goes to him for it. And truthfully, it was choosing in my heart to turn from those things. That was when, you know, I knew I had reached rock bottom, when I was truly ready to turn away from it and be like, this is really enough. And God honored that, and he brought me out of that. He took the desires of all those things away from me, even smoking cigarettes. I quit cold turkey. I didn't have to ever pick up another pack. That was the point for me. I guess it was embarrassing because, you know, my siblings, my mom and dad have a total of 5 kids. I'm the oldest of the 5. So I'm expected to be the leader. Like, I'm expected to be someone that they look up to. And it's really hard to have siblings, younger siblings than you, and they're looking up to you and you're in and out of jail, you know, doing drugs. You know, you're just always looking funny because you're out of your mind. You're not in your right state of mind. And so that was more or less when I knew I had to change, on top of the fact that I was already in my career field of licensed massage therapy. So I knew that was going to be impacted as well, and I didn't want to lose that. I had already lost enough, you know, being in the military, failed relationships, failed friendships, and things of that nature. So it was just time for a change, and, you know, that's when God picked me up, turned me around, and he's, you know, he's had me under the wing of a very incredible teacher, my aunt. And so, you know, her as well as the rest of my family have been encouraging me, and to God be the glory for all of it, man. I haven't regretted the choice. I haven't regretted the choice at all.
That's amazing. It is amazing that you can live and tell this story. I wanted to talk about something else. I know that this is a, and it's up to you if you really want to go, like, deep or whatever. You get what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, me, you being my brother in Christ and stuff like that, like, you know, you get to know a lot of different people and a lot of different stuff that they, you know, they live or they were into. And I feel like when it comes down to the black church, homosexuality is, like, a big taboo or whatever. But I feel like I wanted you to talk about how God brought you out of that lifestyle, because there's so many people around the world that's struggling. You get what I'm saying? There's so many people in the world that feels like maybe this is who they are. I want you to talk about it, because for me or whatever is in life for me, I play it safe. My boss was telling me today, like, Richard, sometimes, you know, she told me this years ago, you always want to play it safe. And what I realized is sometimes you have to be that generational curse breaker and talk about things that's uncomfortable. So for me, it's about talking about things that's uncomfortable that maybe nobody else won't talk about, because maybe they might be afraid of losing certain things or whatever. But again, I know at the end of the day, whatever I have is because of God. So whenever God puts things on my heart to talk about, I'm going to talk about it. I'd rather be obedient to God than men. So before we get to our next caller real quick, I want you to just tell me, like, how are you able to come out of that? Like, because it's some people that are struggling with that. And, tell me how you was able to come out of that, like, how you was in that lifestyle and how God brought you out of it.
Okay. Being in the lifestyle, like, I partook in it, and I kind of partook in it under the guise of bisexuality. I felt like, you know, it made it easier for me to come to grips with, you know, who I was and what I was dealing with. It carries the same stigma in some cases, but not as much, because, you know, as a man, you still, quote unquote, have some attraction to women. And I did. I had girlfriends. Like, I chose to date women, but when it came to me being single, I didn't date the men. It was just a lot of sleeping around. And so how God had brought me out of that, that was actually part of coming out of it, when I, you know, got in trouble for the alcohol or the DWI. Like, God kind of hit me all at one time. But I remember it was when I had an experience at this party, and it was a life or death experience. It's quite hard to explain, but I made a phone call to my aunt. And in that moment, you know, my aunt, I knew she was a woman of God. She's very spiritual, and that she prays, prayer being the biggest part of it. And when I had her pray for me, you know, God was speaking to her in that moment. I had turned my life back over to Christ. This was May 10th of 2021. And, you know, she asked me the three questions. Did I believe that Jesus was the Son of God? You know, do I believe that he died on the cross and rose on the third day without power in his hands? And that, you know, and is he my Lord and Savior? And I said yes to all of these questions. I said yes to all three of these questions and accepted him. And that was when, at that moment, was when God's hand landed on me and I was delivered not only from death, but from other things that I had been battling. And later on that year in September, my aunt, well, a couple of my aunts outside of just her, we all got together for a prayer that evening and we all went through what's called deliverance. Now, not a lot of people believe in deliverance, but deliverance is very real. And that was how, in that night, it was September 29th, that was the night that I was truly delivered from homosexuality. And when the real battle to turn my life from it had began, because although you get delivered from it, the Bible says, you know, like Jesus told many people that he healed. He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And so going back to that would only equate to worse things and in some cases death. But I had turned from it. I've been fighting it. I've been in my word. I've been fasting. I've been praying. And I've been laying down my desires because my natural heart at this point, I was in it for 19 years. So my heart is still, there's still parts of me that are inclined to certain ways, but I lay those things down daily. I die to myself daily. I die to my desires daily to honor Christ and honor what he did for me that night. And I don't regret it. I don't look back, and I can help other people with that as well. And I love the man that I'm becoming. This is the person I've always wanted to become, because when I was in that lifestyle, I used to hate the fact that I wasn't like other men. I used to hate the fact that I wasn't gruff, I wasn't tough, that I just wasn't like the average man that you see, you know, every day, or what society says a man should be. You know, my voice wasn't what it was supposed to be. I wasn't built the way I was supposed to be built, things of that nature. And so since then, I haven't looked back. I've been working on me, you know, whether it be eating, exercising, changing the things I pay attention to. I've changed my conversation is a huge one, because when you're in that lifestyle, your conversation is more or less all the same. And, you know, God surrounded me with spiritual brothers has been another big part of it too. And so, yeah, that's more or less how, you know, how he pulled me out of it.
Wow, that's amazing. We're about to go to this caller number three. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Peace and blessings, Ricardo, and peace and blessings to your guests. This is Sister Betsy the Truther.
Hi, Sister Betsy.
Hi, my brother. I am enjoying your guests and your conversation. I did want to say something. As you know, and many others know, that I was an addict, but I prayed to the Almighty. And I asked that if he would remove that addiction from me, that I would use my voice in healing people as I speak. And I have kept that word that I promised the Creator. And I just want to say that you must want to quit. You must want to quit. And you have to believe in the Almighty in order to remove it from you. Also, I want to say that when I was young, someone asked me to take, well, back that time they call it a toke. And that meant that you take a puff of the marijuana. So they said, oh, it's not going to bother you. Just try it. So I tried it and took two puffs to my door, and I passed out. Everything went black. And so many people surrounded me. They was concerned about me. But that taught me a lesson also not to trust anyone. Marijuana today is not the same marijuana that we had when we were growing up. There are so many different types of chemicals on it. It's mixed with fentanyl. And, you know, I just want the young people to know out there, when they take something from somebody, be aware you might be able to lose your life.
Amen.
And congratulations on your record. So what do you think about that, your guest and you, Ricardo?
I thought that what you said is just, I have so much respect for people who are, can be transparent and say, you know what, this is where I've been in my life and this is where I am. And I know that no matter what the addiction is, you know, some people can have an addiction to people pleasing. Some people can have an addiction to sex. Everybody has their thorn. Like Paul talked about in the Bible, God removed his thorn. He pleaded with God, and God said, my grace is sufficient. So I realized that everybody has their thorn, you know. So to see that you made a decision and Marcus, I mean, Charles, to say, you know what, like, I want more. I want to live, you know, more than I want to get high or whatever. I just feel like y'all the real superheroes, because people don't understand what it takes to break those chains, you know, break those habits of addiction. So my heart always goes out to the underdog that's just, you know, just comes out swinging, winning, and just tells myself that I'm not going to give up, because it's so easy to just throw in the towel and say, you know what, this is how I am, this is how I've always been, this is all I've seen, and I'm going to give up. But for whatever reason, whatever you were in your life, for you to say, you know what, I'm going to try again, you know, I want to live again, I have so much respect for you and so much respect for Charles. You know, because people, I believe the enemy wants people to feel so shamed and guilt and the things that they've done, when God has, he's opened the door for us to just come to him and to repent and to turn away from whatever sin we're dealing with, and that he loves us so much. You get what I'm saying? And the thing about people don't understand too, the devil was an angel, beautiful, but it's the pride, his pride. He thought he could be better than God. You get what I'm saying? So I recognize why God, his taste for people that have pride and ego and proudness, because that's the same thing that casted the enemy out of heaven. So my heart will always go out to people that say, you know what, I've been there, I did it. And so many other people, they'll be able to hear your story, you know, because people need to know that it's a way out, and a lot of people don't think it's a way out. So just you sharing your story, Sister Bessie, I'm very grateful for you, and I just want to tell you to keep going.
Yes, Ricardo, and I also wanted to tell you that Brother O, that is how partially I met Brother O. He sat down and prayed with me. So anyone out there, if you come across somebody that wants to pray for you, accept that prayer. When he prayed for me, I ended up later on as a podcast host. And I thank him for his prayer, and I thank the Most High for what he's done. And I thank you for all that you do. Every time you open your voice, you are a blessing to the world. That's all I wanted to say. My show is on the 14th, this Friday. And peace and blessings to both of you.
Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Lord, help me, Father. Track next by DJ Legend, Brother O. All right, you guys. So before we go to our caller for, I just want to say this. I'm really excited about tonight, like just being able to be on this phone with my spiritual brother and us talk about things that sometimes people in the church don't want to talk about. People don't want to talk about drugs. People don't want to talk about fornication. People don't want to talk about homosexuality. People don't want to talk about things that people struggle with. You get what I'm saying? And realizing that God is a deliverer. He can deliver you from anything. We just got to go to him, and we got to believe it. And I encourage everybody out there, let our seed, our faith be bigger than a mustard seed, because the word says that a mustard seed can move mountains. So imagine if our faith is more than a mustard seed. Imagine what we could do. So I feel like, bro, before I get to the next caller, certain people, like I said, don't want to talk about certain things because it's just like, oh, I don't want to, if I talk about this in church, then guess what? I'm going to lose my money, or I'm going to lose my, and we should be more concerned as a body about people's souls more than, you know, the money or, and don't get me wrong. My heart goes out to any of my listeners, over the 17 million people that's listening. My goal is to not hurt or offend anybody, but my goal is to always be honest. And I know at the end of the day, I have to stand before God and give an account for everything, every idle word. So I care about more what God think about me more than people. You get what I'm saying? So if I feel led to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it. You get what I mean? And I mean that in the most humbling way. But God really wants people to be freed. And there's a lot of people that's in these authoritative places, you know, in these roles, you know, and these pastors. And they're not telling people the truth. They're telling people what they want to hear. And I have a problem with that. Preach the gospel, but preach the word. Preach the whole word. All right? Call a four. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Tiana Speaks calling in, you know, just to say hi to you and your guest, Charles. I think you're doing an absolutely amazing job of speaking the truth without fear, and a lot of people are not able to do that. You have a tremendous strength for what you do with this radio show every time that I've listened to you, and I want you to know that.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you. I really, really do. It really means a lot, you know, when anybody calls in or just because, you know, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy going through life. It's not easy going through trials and tribulations, going through loss and still being able to stand 10 toes down. But it's possible, you know, and I definitely want to give my listeners hope. That guess what? It might rain and you might feel like life is life and it is hard, but trust and believe the sun got to come out eventually. And that's what I always tell myself and I tell those around me. It's going to rain. It's going to be hard. Life going life, but the sun got to come out eventually. Do you know what I mean? It ain't going to be hard all the time. It's our perspective. You know, I was telling my nephew the other day, yesterday, he had detention or something in the lunchroom or something. He was like, tomorrow I'm already having a bad day. I said, one defining moment doesn't have to destroy your whole day. You get what I'm saying? You do it. You do what you got to do. Take it like a G. Handle what you got to handle, and you get up out of there. You know, it might be something you need to do for God while you're there. You get what I mean? But a lot of times we do that. We allow a situation in our life, maybe somebody left us or maybe somebody hurt us, and it's like, oh, it's the end of the world. No, it's not. You get what I'm saying? No, that was a lesson. You get what I mean?
Sometimes we end up at the right places, you know, that we don't realize is the right places. There's been times, you know, I may have been frustrated. Let's say hypothetically in traffic, you know, you might get frustrated at somebody, you know, driving really slow, but you don't know if that's God's protection from you getting into an accident. You know, I try to think like that because I, for one, get frustrated when I drive. But you said something, and I don't know if I'm saying this verbatim, but you said, you mentioned, take my, you know, my failures with my successes. And I love that. I absolutely love that. That is an, I thought that was so powerful, you know. And you talked about playing it safe, you know. And I feel as though, you know, that maybe due to your, like, you know, empathetic nature, you know, when you're empathetic, it can also be hard because, you know, we feel the emotional result of certain conversations for other people. And being as though we physically feel other people's emotions, we may, you know, be consciously and subconsciously, you know, avoid certain topics, you know, because of that. And it will be easier for someone who isn't connected to the emotional being of others to ask and say certain things because they're not thinking of the end result of that conversation, you know. So, but I do commend you for everything you do and what you have done and what you have spoke about and how powerful you display your relationship with the Lord and being obedient to God and not man. A lot of people don't have that. They are obedient to human beings more than they're obedient to God. And you are definitely inspiration to many people. I just can feel it and I know it. Please keep doing your thing. Don't let anyone discourage you because you are absolutely amazing. And my brother and I want you to know that. Just please keep being inspiration. Don't let anything deter you from the message that you have to bring, no matter what anybody says to you.
Thank you so much, my sister. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I will carry those words in my heart. Thank you so much. We have another caller in queue, caller 5. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Angela. I'm calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hi, Miss Angela.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm enjoying this. Like, I so love you so much. Like, everything you're saying, like, I just so love this conversation. And to your guests, amazing. I love both of you guys. It's just amazing to hear my brown men able to express themselves and be free. And that's what it's all about, being free. You know who God calls you to be, not who nobody else think he called you to be. But you know who he called you to be. You on this journey. No one else can journey your journey. So I thank you guys for being transparent and being free to be who he called you to be. I tell you, I just sit back and I'm just smiling over here. It just fills my heart with joy to hear my brown men speaking up. I tell you, I had the opportunity today to interview a young lady out of the UK. And the things that she's doing in the UK is actually Black History Month there. And it's just amazing. I'm just amazed at my brown people right now. And if we just continue to just speak our truth and be who he called us to be. I'm going to be quiet because I can get to going. But thank you for your special guest. I thank him for his transparency tonight. And you guys touched on a topic that needs to be touched on. And I'm going to leave that alone. I love you guys, and thank you for doing all you do, Ricardo.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sister Angel. I love you, too. Before we get to the next DJ, when God calls you out of many, when he chooses you to be a generational curse breaker in your family, you just got to stand up and just say, you know what, God, yes, no matter what it looks like, no matter if I feel like I'm on the outs, God, you got my yes. All right? So make sure y'all keep that in mind or whatever. Track next by DJ Legend, Brother O. And we are back. Caller number 5, who are you?
Hi, how are you, Ricardo? This is Antonia Batts, calling
Hello.
Out of Philadelphia. Hi, look, Ricardo, I have to admit, you are just unconditionally consistent in your belief, and that's why I love to listen to your commitment to God, you know, and to know that some people who are on the younger side, of course, you know, admit that maybe they went the wrong way and they managed to come back, that doesn't happen often. We see the results out here in the streets, and to know that, you know, you will not be one of those people who give me the impression that would I'm not going to try to be religious sounding by saying backslide, who want to be committed because you've seen the light and you've seen it early enough to say that you want to remain committed. I can say that was wonderful. And by the way, when Clev One mentioned that, you know, about people having children at the age of like 13, and I haven't heard of even younger than that when I came back to the city after being in the service, I just didn't know those things were a reality. I mean, we knew that they could obviously procreate and what have you, but to see so many younger parents who are not even old enough to drink sometime, you know, at the age of 21, it makes me wonder, what were their parents doing? Or are they just the non-committed types who don't even introduce their children to the message that God tried to send? But then again, it could be an issue of something that just went wrong in a sense. Well, you shouldn't regret having your children, but that is a heck of a commitment that a lot of people don't understand when you have these children at a very young age, not just younger age. But, I mean, even having them in their 20s, giving the impression is not, some of them are not ready. Some people who are in their 30s and 40s, they should be ashamed of themselves if they're going to turn around and make children and it not at least acknowledge the fact that, you know, they have one out there who may be looking for them. Like I saw this young lady on TikTok today, and it was so pitiful. I just couldn't believe how sad a situation. She says she has two beautiful little girls, and she said all of these derogatory names about, not negatively against anybody, but because she was just so discontented about the way nobody tried to reach out to her. So she pleaded while she was in her little shorts and her, you know, long braided hair, to please try to reach out to her, because people don't realize not only finding your family, but also letting them understand why you value them. Sometimes because you found God, that can help a whole lot. So you stay committed, Ricardo, please, because I always love to hear a person with your attitude survive out here and like to hear the good stories. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. All right, you guys. So it's in Goldie time. Here is your mother and father's favorite producer. Oh, I'm sorry. Kichigma.
Put your hands together. Come on. Put your hands together. Come on.
I need to know
how to live.
That was absolutely awesome, brother. Oh, I loved it. Kira Clark. Well, Kira Sheard. Kira Sheard. The daughter of Karen Clark Sheard. And she sounds like her mother. She looks like her mother. I enjoyed your music, Brother O. Congratulations to you, Ricardo Richard, on your 10th all-time connection record. You are in the double digits. And I am so very proud of you with your all-time third consecutive with the Darlene Lawrence Championship, the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late Hall of Famer, Darlene Lawrence. And I'm just, again, so very proud of you, Ricardo. I am proud of, like, your growth, your boldness. I mean, you're like a bold soldier for Christ, and I like that. I really like that. Awesome job tonight, Ricardo. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. I invite you all to listen on Sunday night to News Forum. This Sunday night is going to be very interesting because we have an upcoming election. Coming up November the 8th is election day for 2022, and we're going to be talking with the Working Families Party. It's a new party that has been created by we the people, by the people, the citizens. And this party is growing, and they're very active around the country. So we're going to be talking with them on the election. We're going to have some candidates on, and we're going to have a lot of controversial topics being discussed on Sunday night on News Forum right here on WBNN. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Maleba Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Maleba Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And stay tuned tomorrow night for A&M University with Wajet L, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, right here on WBNN. Or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now, back to our champion for the night, Ricardo Richard, with his 10th all-time connection record.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim Kayla. You know you're the GOAT. You're the greatest of all time. So thank you so much. Charles, my brother, do you want to, you know, we're about to come to the end of my show. Is there anything that you want to say or anything that you feel like God is putting on your heart right now in this moment for our 17 million listeners? Like, do you want to say anything about, you know, before we end the show?
Yeah, so he was just, God corrected me on one thing that I said, and it was just the three questions that asked me when everything in my life turned around for the better. And it's, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Christ died on the cross for all of our sins? And do you believe that when he died, God raised him from the dead with all power in his hands, and now he's now seated at the right hand of God? And I said yes to all three of those questions, and that is when my life changed for the better. And so if you believe those things too, and you confess those things with your mouth, you shall be saved as well. And you just also have to turn from all of your sins that are plaguing you, and God will heal you, he will restore you, he will redeem you. That is a promise, because I'm a living testimony to that fact. Ricardo Richard is as well. And the last thing in regards to, you know, everyone been mentioning you breaking records, I believe that God is honoring you because you constantly give him glory on every single one of your shows. And scripture tells us in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So every time you glorify God and you give him the honor that he is due, in whatever it is that you do, he will increase you. He draws all the men to him as in regards to this show, to this radio show. So you're going to continue to bust down records. You're going to continue to break down these barriers until you can't no more. But with God, there is no can't no more. As long as there's a God, you're going to keep on breaking records because you continue to give him the glory and the honor that he's due. And that's really all I got to say about that.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, you guys. I don't take you guys for granted. I thank you so much, guys, for listening to my show. I want to thank Brother O for this amazing opportunity. If you guys can, maybe this week you could do one kind thing for somebody. Maybe somebody on the street that you see. Maybe somebody at work. Maybe somebody who don't even like you. It'd be nice to... It'll be nice for you to do one act of kindness, all right? So, again, or whatever, you guys can check out my amazing series, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. Please, if I got – it's 17 million people that tune and watch my show. If I get 1 million of y'all to tune into my web series, that would be amazing. Season 3 will be out at the top of the year, hoping late January. We have a mini series, longer episodes, but shorter episodes. This is a labor of love. I can't wait for you guys to see it. Oh, it's a tearjerker. Oh, I have so much fun making it. But again, you know, I'm just a boy from my East Trenton, you know, that just really, really want to be used by God. So I love you guys. Please stay blessed, and I'll see you guys soon.